Morning out there. We are here today. It is Tuesday morning.
Tuesday.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is the 16th of September.
Whew.
So you know what that means.
What?
Share-a-thon is coming
right
up.
Right around the corner.
Share-a-thon is upon us.
Mm-hmm. What are the dates again?
It is the 24th, the 25th, and 26th.
Mm.
So remember to tune in with us. We will be on here 7 a.m. to 5 those 3 days. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we're just believing God to do mighty things. We'll have several guests in here with us. We like to call it a family reunion because we just get to fellowship and be in the Lord's presence and watch the Lord as he provides and just does what he does.
Mm-hmm. Prospers.
Do what you do, God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, we have our Tuesday crew with us. Miss Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I am really glad to be here.
And we might have Miss Jeannie.
She's on the way.
She just
texted me. She's on the way.
Well, then I'll move on to Miss Crystal. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Like you said, I love this time of year, but I don't like what's coming ahead, but that's okay. We need winter, too.
Uh-huh. We do.
It's just so cold.
I know. Well, this week's been warm, though, so we have like that last little taste of warmth.
Yeah. It feels like Louisiana weather when it's in the 90s and stuff. But
I don't mind the cold as long as it's not raining.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be raining.
That's what I was thinking about that too. Crystal, you're used to the Louisiana weather, mm-hmm. so I'm sure it's harder to adjust.
I should be adjusting. I've been here almost 9 years, but it's still, it just hurts to go outside. But
you're almost an ancestor
I know.
Now.
There you go.
Well, it reminds me of Nehemiah. I miss Nehemiah, but he always told the story of how, you know, when he got here from Liberia the first time, how he was literally freezing the summer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In the summer, he was freezing.
Now, I'm not freezing in the summer, but yeah, it's a different cold here. I mean, Louisiana, you get cold. In fact, they got snow last year. Remember that? They were just, and his first time probably in
Florida got snow.
10 and 15 years they had not had snow. And when we get it, it's just a mess.
Right.
You get maybe an inch on your car, you know, and nobody knows how to drive in it. And so with everything shuts down, school shut down, business, I mean, we didn't go to work, you know, it's like, because, you know,
you don't know what to do.
Let all these people on the road that don't know what they're doing or think a bunch of rednecks. That
think they know
what they're doing, it could be dangerous.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Yeah. Anyway,
but hey, the Lord, He's doing something. So
right.
No matter what it feels like outside,
yes,
He's stirring and doing something on the inside. I think everybody feels that. Anybody who's tuned in to the
and as
right
we
now.
Relate seasons to our lives, there are times in our lives when it's winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, everything has to die and everything mm-hmm. has
Amen.
To. Be revived and refreshed and all the season, you know, and then spring comes and then summer and, you know, and it, every season we all go through
it has
things.
A reason
That's
for
right.
being there.
Right.
It really
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
You
Even
know?
Though our, as humans, we don't like it because it's uncomfortable in the summer. We may be too hot, but my goodness, we're so spoiled now. You know, I used to joke because Andy Griffith is one of my favorite shows.
Him.
That's
no,
like
no.
my favorite. And I think, oh, I'd love to live in that time. And I think it was my dad said, because he lived in that time, he's like, do you really? It's like there was no air condition. You know, you might have an attic fan if you were really blessed, you know. And so he's like, and you had, you know, gas heaters and things that, you know, would cook you at one moment. And, you know, so it wasn't like we have it today where we're so spoiled. But if I could have Andy Griffith with today's technology and comforts, it'd be great.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah, my daughter asked me not very long ago, Mama, back in the old days, I'm like, okay, give me a break here. I used to say that.
I know. Oh, so she's saying your day is her old day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did Even you all have?
Yeah. Todd is 3 years younger than me, so he'll make comments like that, too. You know, I'm like, you know, you were right there with me. It's only 3 years, but he'll say, you know, I was a child when you were in high school. So.
Yeah, they just do it to pick. I mean, Ethan's 8 months younger than me, and he still says, he's like, yeah, back in your day. Like, what are you talking about?
That gets more important as you get older.
They're going to hold on to every little ounce of youth they
can. Oh, yeah. He'll say things like the time that I was in Little House on the Prairie. You know, he says stuff that's like, okay, really?
I have learned something on this broadcast that our listeners are very fond of Andy Griffith and Little House on the Prairie. But the funny thing is I did grow up watching those because I would watch them with my mamma.
They're the best.
And when you say Andy Griffith, I immediately hear the little dun-dun-dun. I hear the
tune.
You
got to whistle it, Hannah.
I know. I can't whistle, though. So I have to hum it. But I hear the little melody in my head.
I remember when my daughter was little, there were like 7 kids all within months of each other in my family. And it was every day, every single day, you could go up there and to my mom's house and every one of them be sitting in the living room floor watching the Waltons.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you know, they loved it. They loved that show. Yes. And
That was another good one. Yeah. My dad didn't like to watch that. He said, I lived that. I don't want to see it again. That's what my dad used to say, the Depression era.
Right.
And he was like, I lived that. I don't want to see it again. But it was a great show.
It was a little of value.
Yes.
It had a lot of family value.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to. You know, I'm about to go into announcements, but to somehow tie this into spiritual, it truly is astounding to look at our TV, like our television programs, throughout the years. And if you don't believe that the enemy has gained ground and that we've kind of fallen asleep as the church, just look at media. Look at how the church has backed out of media and kind of, but I believe that's turning around in Jesus' name, because there is a lot of, for a season, it was like dominating, but now you are starting to see Christian, brilliant minds creative Christians, you know, that are stepping up and saying, we're taking back ground, and you see Christian TV shows, you see Christian movies that are actually made well. It's not just the cheesy, like, I'm sorry, I got to turn this off because this is just not done with excellence.
Yeah, we did that.
Those I'm going to go to church on Sunday and then live the rest of the week anyway. I want kind of Christian movies.
Well, back in the 50s and 60s, I think you couldn't even say the word pregnant, you know, and if you look at the Desi and Lucy show, what's it called? Yeah, the Lucy show. Why didn't call it? Okay, they had twin beds because you couldn't even put a couple in a bed together, and several other shows like that.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, we have had a change in our society, but it's coming back, like you said.
It's coming back around, and
that's right.
Morals. Though it's getting darker in areas, it's getting, you know, revivals here, and we're seeing that. And I mean, there was a turning point. I know we keep talking about turning point, but there really is one in the spirit, and it's being felt by everybody. So,
and it was going, you know, it's been going for a little bit. It's been going for a few months, maybe a year or so, whatever. You've felt that shifting taking place. The amping up of not just the bad things. You felt the spirit of the Lord moving.
Yes.
And it's been going, that way for a while.
Even before. It was like all leading up to. It was like beginning stages of it. But it's like just a difference now.
Right.
Miss Brenda said, I have the whistle theme to Andy Griffith as my primary ringtone.
That's cool. I need that one. She needs to send me that.
So text Miss Crystal at 270-something-something. if you want to send her the ringtone. Jeff,
I know you need to make your announcements, but you got us all fired up now.
Yeah.
You might have to
wait till hard break.
Now, revival, you know, I heard Flashpoint say this, so I can't take credit, but they were saying we are, revival is a good thing, but we are into a reformation.
Yes.
And I just looked up, just so I could say it right, the definition of reformation, or it really comes from the root word reformed, having been changed in such a way as to be improved. So we are in a reformation where not just emotions, but the whole earth, the whole world is changed into improvement and in God's morals, in God's ways. So, sorry.
I think the revival is like the waking up.
Yes.
Because like if you revive something, it was dead, and now it's alive. Yeah.
I remember several years ago when I first started coming here, Ron Miller said to me, Karen, now you have, he didn't say my permission, but it was kind of like he was giving me the right. You have the right to move through the church and talk to people, you know, minister to people. And it was almost like I felt like a green light had gone off in my life. You know, the light said, go, you know, and I think before that I had been hesitant to do it. Mm-hmm. It was like I wasn't the pastor, I wasn't on staff, I wasn't, but it was like I had been given the green light. And I feel like, in a way, that's what's happened. I don't want to make it less than it is, but it's almost like people, not just in the United States, but all the way across the world, are sensing you have the green light. Go. Now, not, and I'm talking about in godly, spiritual things. You have the green light, now go. And it's just worldwide. I feel it worldwide.
If you can, if you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up Karen Wheaton's page, and she has a ramp. She has the ramp down south. I think some of the young kids went from here. And our kids from Louisiana went. It's just a great ministry. Well, anyway, she has one also in Manchester, England. And they, there's a program right now called Standing in the Gap that she has, one of her events where they were in Manchester last week or the week before. And it is an awesome service. And they are praying and interceding for British, for Britain, and just over and over for England, and just climb. They have the flag. They're walking over the stage. You know, she's calling prodigals. But then they move in to call, you know, so it's a, it's great that, you know, it's not just America. America's in bad shape, but England is in rough shape, too. They're all, there's several nations. Well, the whole world needs Jesus. So let's just say it that way.
And each nation has different needs and, like, different. It reminds me of the churches in Revelation, you know. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about just some different churches, even in the U.S., different church organizations, and how they were listening to a message about how Paul would write differently to different churches. He would write different correction and different edification, because each church had different weaknesses and different strengths and different needs from that you know, that he prayed for them certain things. And we were just talking about that, how there are churches who, you know, have so much wisdom but aren't going or aren't sending. But then there's churches who are doing a lot of great things, but they don't preach on holiness. And they don't prioritize the holiness. And, but if they could get the two together, and if we would get God's, the fullness of the gospel, you know, keep doing the good things that we're doing, like it said in Revelation, like, I say to you, you're doing all these things, but this one thing I say, you know, if we would get that one thing that, that Jesus is trying to speak to us, if we would get the fullness of the gospel at our churches, we don't want to write off our brother, our brethren. You know, we need every church on board. We need every nation, like every church nation that would be represented as a church. We need them on board to be doing this thing, to be in the body, active, you know, evangelizing, winning souls, worshiping the Lord. Like, and that's the thing that I feel too in the spirit, is just that unity of, like, it's no longer, we don't have time to it just be us like anymore, and kind of like shut out the rest of our brothers and sisters, like, that we don't agree with on everything, that we struggle to get along with.
That's what we talked about last week. That's what, I didn't mean to interrupt you, I'm sorry. That's what's wrong with our society, is everything's first person. I, me, mine, my, you know, everything is us. And it's time to start going out there and say, it's him, it's him, it's him.
But that's wakening up as well, don't you think? Don't you think that people are seeing it's not just about me, you know?
And I do think, not to get, you know, it, well, I'm not even going to say that, because we know it's not doom and gloom. End times, ushering in, come Jesus, come, is not doom and gloom. That's what the enemy would want us to think. But it's joyous, it's exciting to say, come Jesus, come. But I do think this is ushering in that, because think about it, you know, when things start to get worse in the natural, we're going to need that unity among the church, because we're going to have to be there for one another.
And it will happen, I think. You know, I do think, I think that that's already started as well. Those denominational walls have started
to fall.
And I think it's because pastors are seeing the same thing you're talking about there. It's time for some those things to come down. Because we do need each other, you know.
And we do. You know, here we go. But the Charlie Kirk thing, he gave of himself, you know, and he was all about everyone else. And we don't want to glorify him higher than Jesus. We know that. And he would want us to. But at the same time, he was a person that sacrificed and said, I will go out there and help explain, you know, talk about our Jesus. And he wasn't ashamed. And that's where we don't need to be little Charlie Kirks, but we need to be a voice like Charlie Kirk. Yes.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things. I mean, you know, that's what you're hearing right now. And I mean, it's important to honor that to some degree, but it can't be the same thing as it was on 9/11.
Right. Where it goes away.
We can't get past the memorial and then life goes back to usual. Mm-hmm. And it can't be just because we've got our eyes on an important thing, right, an important person. We have our eyes on him, but we have to look beyond that too. And again, I think that's what anyone that loves the Lord would want. Mm-hmm. Us, don't forget what this is really about.
That's right.
It's not just about one person,
yeah,
except Jesus. It's about that
it's
one
a reformation
person
changing,
right,
our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just he was a vessel. He was an instrument. Mm-hmm. You know, that instrument now is not here, so
right,
more instruments have to be started to be used.
That's right. And they say his ministry has already exploded more than it ever would have, mm-hmm, if he'd have been alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like Martin Luther King, the same thing, you know, because they said people are going to look up, who is this Charlie Kirk? And then they're getting into his messages, and they have turning points, membership. They have people trying to join,
uh-huh,
and help support, mm-hmm, more than ever because they're just figuring out what happened,
right,
you know. So we hate that he died. We don't like what happened. It was evil. But at the same time, God will turn all things into good.
And he's just using so much of it. The thing I love about it is it's the Bible unfolding. Like, there's, mm-hmm, so many biblical principles tied into this,
right,
of scripture that are coming to pass.
Right.
Like, you know, that a seed, when it goes into the ground, it's going to sprout forth,
right,
way more.
Right.
And not only that, but, you know, truly what the enemy intended for evil, God will turn,
right,
for good.
Right.
And he works all things together for the good of those who are called,
mm-hmm,
according to his purpose. And so we just see these things unfolding. And I think it's a good example to see if we dedicate our life to the Lord, if we surrender all. And that's what I heard him speak. That's what I heard him confess,
mm-hmm,
in the videos that I've watched. Is
right.
God first, God,
mm-hmm,
first,
yes,
God first.
They asked him what he wanted to be remembered for. And they said, the interviewer just said, if everything ended today, what would you want to be remembered for? And he said, my faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He,
yeah,
would want to be remembered for that. So that's awesome.
You know, some, we had Bible study last night, and one of the ladies was talking. We talked some about this, but one of the ladies said this: don't forget to pray for the young man that,
mm-hmm,
killed him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that's what Charlie Kirk would wanted, but
yes,
that's what Jesus,
yes,
yes,
said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pray for you.
And
pray
so
for
don't
our enemies.
Forget, because that keeps us in the right place too.
All right, the right heart.
Yeah, we keep, that's how we stay grounded, because,
mm-hmm,
he said, don't forget to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pray for those that you are against you. Pray for them, because that's for our good too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't forget that this young man needs Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
And everyone around him needs Jesus. Don't forget to do what God has told you to do. Pray for your enemy.
The first things I thought about was Paul, you know, Saul's conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just imagine if this man had that. Like, just imagine if that man had that encounter and started to just,
yeah,
like, run for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, everybody would say, well, that's not possible. He's not going to get the chance.
Mm.
All things are possible.
That's
with,
right,
the Lord.
You don't know what happened in prison. It's so funny you just said that, because I just went and looked up Acts, and we all know this too, and we've heard a lot of people talking about Charlie Kirk being the martyr. But when Stephen, the martyr, was, you know, they were about to stone him, and he says, Lord Jesus, you know, don't hold this sin against him. And then they said that I'm trying to find the place where it says it right here. When they began to stone him, a witness laid the robes of the feet of at the feet of a young man named Saul, which is going to be Paul.
Uh-huh.
So the martyr. So it's like, you know, they laid his clothes, Stephen's clothes, at the feet of Paul. Now, Charlie Kirk. So what are we going to do at this time. Not, it's not all about Charlie Kirk. It is Charlie Kirk. I know that.
Well, he's the...
But it's like you said, something happened in that, and it's a shift. And it's like Jesus just laid, you know, the clothes there, and I, are we going to pick them up? Are we going to do something with it? Like Saul did. And like you said, he was there when they stoned him. You know, it doesn't say that Paul stoned him, but it does say Paul was there.
Well, and he was about persecuting the
church. Right, he did. He killed all of them. You know, that was his thing to do, was to kill the Christians. He hated them. And look, like you said, this guy hated Charlie Kirk. He hated what Charlie Kirk stood for because he was against transgender, you know. And so here we go. And, you know, we're going to pick up. And Paul has a complete conversion. This young man could have a complete conversion in jail, like you're talking about. You never know. Somebody could get to him in jail. There's prison ministries, and the guy gets saved and before he dies, because he should die. I believe that. I think he should. But that's my personal opinion, not Box 2. That's my personal opinion. And but, you know, he could get saved before he goes. So we don't want anybody to go to hell, no matter what they've done.
You know, I did this. I had this Sunday school class one time, and it was kind of wild because I was in during the week I was preparing for the Sunday school class, and you know, I called them bulletins. I don't know that's what everybody wants to call them now, but I had picked up this bulletin, and I always tried to read the back side of a bulletin just to see what it said. Well, I flipped this one over, and it was talking about Moses. And it was talking about, you know, when he was walking through the wilderness, and something up on the side of the hill caught his attention. And he told that person that was with him, he said, "You go on, I'm going to turn aside to see what this is." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read it and I'm like, how did I miss this? You know, and I brought it to the Sunday school class. But the thing of it is that in that process, in that studying, one of the things that God showed me is, who am I to say? I mean, not just about this young man. Who am I to say that he cannot be saved?
That's right.
Who am I to say? Who am I to say that God couldn't put on my tongue the words that would bring someone to know him? Who am I to say?
That's right.
He said, and, you know, it's kind of weird, but, I mean, who am I to say what he can do and what he can't do?
That's right.
Not just in my life, but in someone else's life. And, I mean, this young man could be this person. He could be, but it is not my place to say.
Yeah.
It's God's place to direct me in what I am
to
do.
And in Isaiah, God asked that question, is my hand too short to redeem, or do I have no power to deliver? And we say, yes, you do, Lord. Mm-hmm. You do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, I think we have to release these things to him and just remember, you know, pray for justice and claim that the Bible says justice is his, is the Lord's, but then pray for the souls. Just pray for the souls, because I was talking about this with somebody too, because, you know, not only are, you know, this is hard to pray for, but also the ones who support and stand for this evil, to pray for them, pray that they be converted. And sometimes that's one of the hardest prayers to pray, is for people who are standing for evil and promoting evil and spewing out hate and not having any showing any compassion. It's so easy to get so frustrated, but the Lord wants to change them. And I mean, I guess if we really paralleled it to the Stephen Saul to Paul thing, it would be somebody that didn't directly do the stoning, but was a part of it.
Yeah.
So if you thought about it along those lines, there are people out there that, you know, not that every single thing in life is going to play out exactly like the testimonies in here, but I do believe that history does repeat itself because there's still good and evil, just like there was. And I mean, I just believe that God, he does use his word to speak into situations. Like what he did in that situation, we can stand and hold that testimony of Stephen and that testimony of Saul to Paul, that he can do it again.
That's right.
He can do it again for people now. And, you know, the situations that are going on now, they aren't the exact same as the ones then, but it's the same Antichrist spirit.
That's right.
That wants to kill off and shut up God's people. And it's still the same love of God that chases down
That's right.
the one that transforms and radically changes the murderers. That's right. And so we just have to keep holding on to that. And for me, like, the Lord had to really get on to me because I was just so angry at some people that were just being so insensitive to this and people that know the truth. Like, right. Like these aren't just people who, you know, are just completely in the dark and just being swayed to and fro. But like people who know the truth, but have kind of hardened their heart against the Lord.
Well, Paul was that guy too.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
He was an educated man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knew. And, you know, it all changed for him when he encountered the man on the road. And again, it's the same thing can happen here.
Yeah.
It can happen here.
That light can fall.
Amen. Y'all talking about this. And
Jeannie joined us, by
I
the
did.
Way.
Hello.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning. I remembered, it took me a flashback to my little girl. She was young, and Osama bin Laden was... Mm-hmm. They found him, they killed him, and it was a great celebration. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, I don't remember how old she was, but she looked at me and she said, Mommy, did God love Osama bin Laden?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Mm. Mm.
He did.
He did.
He did. But, boy, it sure didn't look like it from right. God's people.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was rough. We should have been in mourning.
Yeah. That's right, because God was. He mourned.
No pleasure
Osama
in the
Laden
death
didn't
of the
love
wicked.
Him. That was the problem.
Right.
He didn't love him.
Right.
God loved him. Loved
right.
Osama. Loved Osama bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
I can't
yeah.
get it out. But he didn't love him back.
Uh-huh.
And that was the problem. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
But he took no pleasure
right.
no.
In his
no.
death.
No. That's right.
But a lot of us did.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, there was rejoicing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time, this is kind of on a lighter note, but I remember one time somebody asked Jeannie if she believed in aliens. And she said, I don't know about them, but all I know about them is that they need Jesus just like everybody else. They're real. They need Jesus.
True story.
That's the mindset we got to have.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
She needs to say her announcement.
No, I'm going to have to clip that. I'm going to have to go back and clip
even
that.
Even aliens need Jesus.
Everybody needs Jesus.
No, well, it's okay. I mean, I can hurry up and get them out here. But again, we already announced the share-a-thon, so just remember to tune in for that. But also, there's several events coming up here, revivals going on. Gospel Way Church, their community singing event is almost here. It's September 20th. I'm going to start at 7 o'clock p.m., and that's there on Hardinsburg Road. You can look at our app for more information on that. And then again, the Brush Arbor Services in Caneyville, that's on the 22nd, Monday the 22nd. And that will be Brother Roy Dockery, and there will be preaching, worship, prayer, and all kinds of things there. So if you have more questions on that, you can go to our app. And then Gospel Boy Church is having another event. They're having a revival at the end of the month, September 27th at 7 o'clock. These are both Eastern time. So each of these at the Gospel Way Church, it's in Cecilia area. It is on Eastern time, and that'll be 7 o'clock Eastern time from September 27th to October the 4th. So, Evangelist Steve Francis and Pastor Tim Cook there at those. So yeah, that's all that we have for events.
I'm just, is it okay if we announce it? There is going to be a chili cook-off on October 25th for the Bethel School. Is that what it's for? Right. I just want to make sure I say it right. So October 25th, I believe that they have cornhole and all that. I think it normally starts around 3 or so. We'll be posting later on Facebook. I'm sure they'll do that. But and then I think the actual auction usually is at 5. Is that you? 6 o'clock.
Usually
6 o'clock.
Later, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so come on out and help support our school. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful time. It's a whole auction. They usually have some wonderful prizes and things like that, items that you can bid on. And there's a chili contest. If you like to cook chili, bring your chili out there. And
That's the best part.
They're very competitive about that chili cook-off thing now.
You get to eat the chili, and there's plenty of food, uh-huh. So come on out. And
I remember the last time I went, they were having a, people were paying money to see a pie put in your face.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, yeah. They still
and
do that.
I was losing big time.
I remember
and I lost.
Yeah.
You got pied?
No. Todd took my place.
Oh, yeah. That Todd.
Taylor?
He's a pretty good guy. It seems like, doesn't it?
It was you also said that was a representation of Jesus one time. I don't know if we were on here or what. But
that's what
said,
I was thinking. Yeah. Jesus took our place.
Because she was like, she did not want to have that. I remember she was like, she was about to have a fit. I do not want that pie. And people were picking on her saying, we're going to get Jeannie. Mm-hmm. Well, Todd said, I can't let her do that. So he went up and did it. So isn't that like our Jesus, yeah. though?
Yeah. I wish I could have had Todd at VBS. Dang.
They got you.
I think I was still pregnant in that.
They didn't care. No mercy.
Did you get pied too?
Those smells were about to make me gag.
Also, I want to announce too. I mean, we only have so much property, but we're going to have a little fall party at our house. If anybody wants to come, it's October 4th. If you've seen that when it was 11th, we had to change it because I didn't think about all the JV and state tournaments and for volleyball and regional and all that. So, but anyway, October 4th, we're going to be at our house. I'm going to make a big pot of chili, and we're going to have some hot dogs and marshmallows to roast. Todd's going to hook up a trailer to have a little small short hayride because our road is real curvy and wild, so can't go very far on it, but we'll go down to the river and come back or something like that. So it'll be a lot of fun. And going to have the cornhole bowls, boards set up too. So come out and just enjoy. We're just inviting everybody to come.
On radio.
Yeah, on radio. No, I didn't give my address yet, though. No, just kidding.
No pie.
Just kidding. Thing, no pie. Yeah. No pie. We will not put a pie in your face. Sorry. So we're
only
just going
to
hang out.
Eat.
Yeah. Just going to hang out and just have fun. It's just this time of year makes me want to have a bonfire. And October 4th, it could be still a little warm, but we don't want to go too far into November because then it gets so cold you can't be outside. So anyway, there
that's
you go.
Good.
The whole
that's
body
good.
Of Christ going to show up. And
yeah.
We're just
Well, we got a church next door that they said anytime we want to use the gazebo, so we'll put some people over there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
a good spot.
And we have 17 acres, so we'll put you somewhere. So.
Who knows?
You might be out there with a goat or a sheep or a chicken or a turkey, but anyway. Or a dog.
That's awesome.
We will not be alone.
Or a donkey.
Well, I guess, do we need to take a break and do our first trivia question? I don't have the question.
Who's running this?
Okay.
I don't have the questions, though, so we may skip it. Oh, we do have it? Oh, that was my bad.
Okay.
That's my bad. I do got it. Okay. Tuesday question number one, which great prophet did Malachi predict would be sent to herald the coming of the Lord? Which great prophet did Malachi predict would be sent to herald the coming of the Lord? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back after a quick break here this Tuesday morning. All right, we're back. We are back, and Miss Brenda Sims got that right. It was Elijah, not Elisha. Elijah, Malachi 4:5. So good job on that, Miss Brenda. And I love what you said earlier. I didn't see it in the moment, but it's worthy of reading. Something I heard in a revival is that a revival is not an event that we go to. A revival is a change in our hearts. And please don't leave me alone. She said, I'll leave you alone now. But I love to hear your comments. So you don't have to leave us alone.
Yeah.
I love that because that is true. You know, it's an awakening in the heart. And what I was going to say earlier before we transition here, I believe the revival comes first because we have to be brought to life. Mm-hmm. And then this whole, they call it? Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
Reforming. Because once we're alive, once we're awakened, we can't just stand there.
Right.
Because if we stand too long, then our knees are going to get shaky and we're just gonna fall
right.
Or we're gonna get so stagnant that we're gonna turn back maybe. But the Reformation is changing the course of where, you know, not continuing to go the same direction. And I think Reformation has a lot to do with action. Look at Reformations throughout time, it's all to do with action and changing the
moving.
Course of history.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So amen.
That's right.
And we talked about William Wallace on Sunday, as far as the stand he took. And one of the statements he said, because I was trying to find just a clip of what I was talking about Sunday, where he is going to battle and he marches in front of them and that kind of thing, and he hollers freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks to them. But one of the things he's saying is, because one of the guys goes, we're not going to fight because we're going to die. And he goes, yes, you might die. He said, and you may not, and you may don't fight and you will live. But what will happen to your children?
Right.
What will happen to your wives? What will happen to your land? You know, it'll all be taken from you. And so he said, we have to fight. And as Esther said, if I die, I die. You know, because I have to change my nation. And she did. And she wasn't afraid. And we're in a place right now, not just Charlie Kirk's, all of us are in a place where we have to say, if I die, I die, but I'm going to stand for what's right, and I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to teach my children and my children's children about the word of the Lord, and the scripture tells us to do that.
Well, it makes them ready. It makes them ready for whatever comes their way, because things have amped up on every every side, and you've got it's the future generations. You're teaching the future generations how to stand on that which is solid. It's so important.
It is. It is
so important.
I was trying to look up real quick that scripture. I can't think of where it's at, but it says, "Tell your children and your children's children." If anybody knows it,
that's an Old Testament verse.
Yes, it is. I was trying to find it.
Tell your children.
Your children and your children's children.
I hit it and it said
that. That was so prophetic. About the I don't know, just the horse part was really prophetic to me. But I feel like the Lord is speaking on all sides of that. I really do. When you release that on the Sunday, because personally, it's prophetic to me, like a confirmation to something that the Lord's spoken. But I do believe that it's for the whole body, like, and even the unbridled. I think Aaron had spoken about that, the unbridled, and it's just all tying together. I think the Spirit is really just pouring out, just direction and revelation, that he's speaking the same things, and it's all like different parts, pieces of the puzzle that are fitting together.
Right.
And it's all boils down to, though, that if you think about a horse, I mean, what do you think about? And the fact that they warriors rode on horses, you know, that it's that fight. Like you can't really think about a horse and a person riding on a horse, you know, without thinking about that fight.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It just the war, but not the kind of war that's like we're so focused on the war, not focused on the Lord. Like, because he's the one, you know, as that guy was giving orders, he was giving orders to the rest, and he was like motivating. That's what the Lord, you know, he's wanting us to look to him to get our orders.
Right.
You know, to get our direction.
We will fail if we do it any other way.
Yes, we will lose the battle because we're not fighting from victory.
You know, and this came up in our Bible study last night too, because we talked about the unbridled horses, and you know, there's a prophecy that was spoken over this church several years ago, and there's a picture of unbridled horses running across the land through the water, and
that was Deborah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Deborah. I couldn't remember her name, but it talked about how that it has to happen, that go for it, that fight. It's a battle to be fought, but we have to stay in place with where we have the direction is coming from the Lord. But it is right there. It's right there. We've got to take it, but not in arrogance.
No.
Not in any other self-motivating way.
Yeah.
It has to be all for the glory of God and for the good of the people.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because it's just like aliens. Everyone needs Jesus. And if I can keep that in my head, if that's the first thing I look at when I look at someone that I, whatever, disagree with, they need Jesus.
Yeah.
If that's in my mind, it changes my actions toward them. It changes my heart toward
them.
That's right. And that's why we're here. That is why we are here, to affect that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I need it. I need it so bad. But I want to be unbridled.
Yeah.
That's right.
There was one of the quotes that we've read on here. I can't remember who it was from, but it was talking about, you know, the reason that we don't have revival or awakening or whatever word they use for it, is because we're willing to live without it. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference here. You know, we were talking about 9/11, and it can't go back. Mm-hmm. To we can't let this crisis just fade like nothing ever happened. But that's the thing, is we have to get to the point where we're not willing to live without this move of God. We're not willing, because now we see, our eyes are open to see that we can't live without it. Like, if we are willing to live without it, then we're willing for everything to crash and burn. We're willing for things to, for souls to go to hell. We're willing for, you know, we got to get real again. That's right. About this stuff. And, you know, there's been such a time that the enemy has, we've allowed the enemy to just lullaby us into distraction. But it's like, there's a people rising up, the remnant's rising up to be real and have our eyes open to know, mm-hmm. we can't live without this.
Right.
We can't live without
it. And if
it.
We're still alive on this earth, it's for a reason. I mean, because if we were just to be born and get saved, and then why wouldn't we just go straight to heaven? There is purpose in why we are here.
But,
you know,
you think even that statement, I mean, even if a person goes to church and they have that attitude, well, you know, this is my life, and it's a good life, but there's something missing.
Yeah, that's
it.
What I'm saying. There's purpose, because in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, it says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us.
Mm, there you go.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And that's what we should be saying to people. Be reconciled. Mm-hmm. Come to know him. Mm-hmm. If you've known him and walked away, come back. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And it is our job. I mean, we are required to pray for others and intercede and be those that can be used to the people that God puts in our path, be those laborers that need to go into the harvest and reconcile people back to God. That's why we're still on the earth. You know, if not, there's no reason to be here other than families. I'm not saying that. I'm saying your purpose in life, if you want to know what is the will of God, it is to bring people to God and to reconcile them back to God if they've left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's your purpose even in your family.
That's right. Your main purpose would be your family, yes. That's a good thing. That's why we pray for our prodigals. Mm-hmm. We stand in the gap for our prodigals and just family members that, you know, just need Jesus. Maybe they're good people. Maybe they're not living bad, but if they died tonight, would they go mm-hmm. to heaven? Would they say, the man on the middle cross said, I can come,
right?
Mm-hmm. That's why the Scottish guy says it. I says I can come.
Yeah. Wow. It's just being the light that reconcile. You know, there's a proverb, and kind of getting into Kingdom Corner here, but we might still
just
get
bring
into
it
later.
On in here.
Okay. All right. I'll just read it. I mean, it's not like it's anything lengthy, but if I can get to it here in 1 John. So this scripture ties into a verse in Proverbs that talks about those who stumble in darkness because they can't even see where they're stepping, mm-hmm. because they have no light to illuminate where they're stepping. Right. So they're just continuing to fall and stumble. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one.
Amen.
So if the word of God abides in us, we've overcome the evil one. And the reason, the purpose for us being here, like Corinthians was saying, is to illuminate where the dark places of where people are blinded. Mm-hmm. Because the people that don't have that relationship with Jesus, even if they may know of things, they may, you know, they may have some morals in their life, but they're still walking with that in the darkness. They don't know where they're going, and they're mm-hmm. stumbling, and they don't know the direction that they're supposed to walk, because mm-hmm. that light, the word of God, a light into my path, a lamp mm-hmm. into my feet, you know, a light. And so I just think this ties so much into what you were talking about, Crystal, because we have to have that love for one another. And that's how we know that we're in the light and we're abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. The love, enough love to share the gospel and share the truth with our family members, with those that we don't know, to reconcile.
Right.
It's lit, you know, the simple image of it is literally just shining the light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. But what's the song say? Hide it under a bushel. Oh no. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to let it shine. That's the
right.
fight that we have here is, are we going to hide it or are we going to share it? Because, you know, the souls are on the line. Mm-hmm. And I think we think about them being in darkness, but we don't think about eternal darkness. Like if we could have on our mind, like each time that, you know, we have the opportunity, like, we see that somebody's in really bad shape, but what if we imagine them in bad shape for the rest of eternity?
Mm.
You know, and that be the thing that we want to pray, that they don't live like that forever.
Right.
Because they're just getting a little glimpse of hell right now, like not even a taste of it.
Yeah.
You know, but like for me, I've had to repent so many times because I'm like, Lord, sensitize me, make me sensitive to have that compassion for people's souls. Because I feel like that, the at least the society that we live in, the compassion, it has been ripped out.
That's right.
And that, like, that burning and that feeling, you know, it's not the norm anymore.
That's right.
But we have to push it. I think it was you all here that time. I don't know who was on here. Maybe it was Miss Renee. The Lord was showing me, like, pushing against the lazy river, like the current that takes you in the lazy river, going against it, pushing against it. And at first, when you start pushing against that flow, it's, like, hard. You're like, okay, let me get my footing. But then the more that you do it, it's, like, building. You're getting stronger because people work out by doing that, by pushing against that lazy river. And how prophetic is that? They call it the lazy river because it's just apathy and complacency just taking you in the same direction that everybody else is going. But I don't know. I just, this First John is, this is what the Lord's speaking to me, tying into like the First Corinthians with reconciling, is the love, the compassion. We got to get baptized in that.
That's right.
Like to get his heart to keep, to give us that motivation for why we do it, you know, or we are going to burn out. We'll go back to the way we used to be when things are not alive and loud, but it's that love that of the Spirit that connects us and bonds us that's going to keep us.
I heard a pastor say that on the thing this morning. He said, do you love them enough to tell them the truth?
That's right.
And you know, I think we get scared or nervous or whatever, fear, that if I tell somebody the truth, they're going to hate me. Well, if they receive it, it's a seed that's planted and watered later, and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're not going to hate you for it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, who am I to say? Who am I to say? And who am I to take that chance with someone else's life? Really, I mean, who am I to say that or think that I have the right to take that kind of chance?
Yeah.
You know?
I got a scripture that the Lord, it always brings up inside of me when we talk about the light. When we talk about we are to be the light of the world. We are to be the light of the world, and I don't think it's something that we have to make happen.
I agree.
Amen.
In Matthew 6, he said, 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And he goes on to say, no man can serve two masters. And it's talking about our love.
Mm-hmm.
Where is our devotion? Where is our love? And you know, even as a Christian. Because he said, the light that is in you, if that light is darkness, that means something can be seen in you no matter what. no matter what, something's coming from you. And if that light is, if what's coming from you, what can be seen from you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yeah.
But if your eye is single, if the love of your life truly is Him, then He is love. The love, He is love, and He's on the inside of me, and I can't help but come out. Mm-hmm. It can't help but the love of God's going to come from me, even in the difficult times.
Right.
And it's been proven over and over, and I'm sure each one of you have walked this walk.
Yeah.
And the love of God will, it must.
Yeah.
You see, because He's in there. We're really in relationship. This is not a pretend.
Mm-hmm.
We received Him, and He came. And we were born of Him. And so, well, how are we like Him? Well, the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, all of it came with Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And His Spirit's on the inside of us. So it can't help but be there. So I would, if I was struggling, it's because my relationship's not where it needs to be.
I got to get
closer because it automatically comes from me when I'm in this place with Him.
Yeah.
Where I walk with Him. Go ahead.
Well, I don't mean you need to keep continuing, but that's a revival.
Yeah.
That's revival.
That's reformation too. Change
all at the same time.
Everything. Mm-hmm. It's so God's kindness that leads to repentance.
Yes. Yeah, that's so
good. If He's flowing through us, then you know we should be kind also. His love will help us to be kind. We want to be mad at this guy that killed. Okay, but it's God's kindness that will lead to repentance as we pray and intercede. Not back down, like Hannah said, you know, justice has to be done, and I think it should. But, you know, at the same time, having a heart to not hate Him, but pray for Him, you know.
If justice plays a role, then you won't see this kind of stuff. If justice had been true and just, you wouldn't see things the way they have necessarily become.
Right.
You said that, you know, we need to, if we love them, we'll give them the truth. And I agree. But also, at the same time, does the person that you're giving the truth to know that you love them?
Right, mm-hmm. That's right.
Because it's important that, see, Jesus gave the truth to the adulterer.
Right.
Go and sin no more.
Right.
But He presented to her first His love for her.
Mm-hmm. He loved first.
Mm-hmm. He loved first. And we love Him because He first loved us. And so I think if we're, you know, if we just give the truth, then we're gonna repeat what some generations before us done that put such a distaste in our mouth for the things of God because they only brought the truth.
Yeah.
You know, we stamped it out. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's not right. That's against God. And we only brought that, and we didn't bring the love.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't bring the, hey, your house is on fire.
Right.
Hey, let me help you out of there.
Yeah.
You know, we brought the
we'll
the
pray
truth.
For you.
Yeah.
With nothing behind it.
Yeah. And I think there's such a balance that I don't think we can make the balance. Mm-mm. I think only the Spirit of God knows the balance.
He is the balance.
And He is. He's the one. So it all goes back to my relationship with Him and Him leading me right here in this moment. Because this moment's going to be different than this moment because these are two different people.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we've sacrificed. Instead, we've tried to pervert His love and make it a type of love that we can give without having that relationship with Him.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's where it's been confused. People confuse people's kind of love with God. God is love.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a true, pure, amazing love that a lot of us I don't think we'll ever fully comprehend it.
Right.
Because it's so
mass.
Powerful. But I does that make sense? Like, I think a lot of us, like, because love has been perverted so much in our world and in so many areas that we confuse when we even read about love. Like, I pray, Lord, that you get our mindset is baptized and renewed with what your love is, who you are and what true love of God is. Not the kind of love that we perceive in our mind based on what we've known. a false love, right. You know, because he is love. And Paul, and the Bible talks about it. The greatest of all these is love.
Right.
You know, so it's important. It's mentioned over and over and over. And I think we just have to have a reformation in our minds about his love.
Right. And he said, you know, whose love are we talking about right here? When he said that, when God said that, whose love was he talking about? He was talking about his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what does his love look like? And, you know, we can go through scripture. But one of the things he said is there is no greater love than a man laid down
in his life.
Right?
Yeah.
So that his love, obviously, what is his love calling for here in this moment and with this person? It, you know, sometimes you're looking at somebody who's gone through the same thing over and over, and I see this a lot. Here we are again. Why are we here again? You know, you're looking at what's the greatest love that I can give this person is you're not going anywhere. And, you know, you have got to repent and move away from what you're doing. You know,
and that goes back to reformed.
Yeah.
Which with the definition, I'm just reading it again. Having been changed in such a way as to be improved. Is there improvement? You know, we can say we're saved. We can say we went down and we had this. But did we change and were we improved? Did we improve our world? Did we change things in our world? And that's what the revival starts at. It's an awakening. We make people aware, but not just leave them. Like we're saying, we love them into a way that they will want to change.
Because that's what God does. That's what the Spirit does. He conforms us into the image of the Son.
Right.
Are we leading people, persuading people, encouraging people to, not that we're conforming them, but we're leading them to let the Lord conform them.
Yeah, the Lord conforms them.
Into the image of the Son.
And transforms.
You know, you know, the thing too, I think about the verse that always got me, is the one that says that he looked out over the city and he had compassion for them. And, you know, he was standing there alone. He wasn't saying anything to anybody, but it was something that he felt in his heart, even though he was nonverbal in that moment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that it, for I'll just speak about me.
Can we hold it?
Uh-huh,
we're sure. At our heartbreak.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read the second trivia real quick, and then I'm out of here for a little bit, and hopefully I can get back in time to jump back in here.
We need to find her a replacement.
Well, she's replacing me.
Oh. Well, she doesn't
we'll
like
just keep
to
replacing. Raise up the laborers, Lord. No. Okay, so Tuesday question number two. What was broken between God and his people as symbolized by the breaking of his staff in Zechariah's prophecy? What was broken between God and his people as symbolized by the breaking of his staff in Zechariah's prophecy? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back after the break.
I am Crystal Taylor, and I'm joined with Ms. Jeannie Shelburne, Ms. Karen Shrewsbury. Hannah took a little break to go help with our BCA class, and she'll be back in just a little bit. We've been talking about several different things. The key would have been that we are ambassadors to reconcile people to God and create a reformation in our world. And we read that an reformation is that you are changed into such a way as to be improved. Mm-hmm. On the break, we were talking about a discussion of as a person receives Christ and they are born again. And I can let you have this if you want it. And the question is being asked, if that person's life is not changing, am I saying it right? Did they really receive the gospel? Did they really receive salvation? Is that what you're asking?
Hardly.
Am I
yes.
saying it
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you want to take it, you can.
No, I mean, when you see people come, maybe you see them come and they seemingly have an experience. They're on, you know, there's tears, there's brokenness, then the next thing you know, they're standing up and maybe the pastor's announcing that they've just received Jesus and everybody's celebrating. Mm-hmm. And so not many days from there, we baptize them. And then there's no change in their lives. And so I guess the question was, do we believe that this person didn't just came in a desperate moment, in an emotional mess that maybe didn't even know what they were doing? I don't know. Did they receive him, or are they just looking for their pain to go away? I mean, I just don't know. But then, did they get the right gospel? Did they get the gospel that would take them to a place of being truly born again?
If they received the gospel of Jesus Christ, they did, yeah. My opinion.
So then when they walk away from there, and 6 months later, here they come again, because they've been in the same mess, mm-hmm. they were in before they got saved. They're still doing the same things. Life has not changed for them at all, except they come to church sometimes.
I was saved twice. I came to know the Lord twice. And first time when I was 8. And I'm not sure. I mean, I think I love Jesus. I think I definitely knew who he was because I was raised in the church. And I think I loved him and I knew he loved me and everything. But I also think it was the thing for me to do. You know, it was the thing for me to do was to go forth and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know. So I came to Jesus that way. And, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about where I was raised. I learned about the Lord. I learned the Bible verses. I learned all of those things. And I loved going to church. You know, I was involved and I participated in things. But there was always something, and I didn't even realize this then, but I can look at it now and realize that there was something missing. And, you know, I left and went to college, and I did all those things, and I didn't go to church and everything, but I still knew Jesus loved me. I didn't grow, except maybe the opposite direction. I didn't grow toward the Lord. And then I came home with a child. Mm-hmm. And I was desperate because my life was so messed up. And it wasn't messed up because I had a child. It was messed up because I was drowning. I was drowning. And I hate this emotion stuff. but I was. I remember seeing in my mind's eye this knot at the end of the rope. And my fingernails were the only thing keeping me from letting go. It wasn't my hand, it was my fingernails. I was holding on to the knot at the end of the rope. And so I was saved that way. And I came back needing something, not really knowing exactly what it was, not understanding in some degree that I had a choice. Mm-hmm. I thought that I was the way I was just because that's the way it is. You know, so I thought the rest of my life was going to be the way it was. Didn't realize I had a choice. And I started going to, you know, different things. I came to a Bible study and wasn't reading the Word, couldn't read the Word. And Lord said I didn't have to, so I was happy about that. But he made a way for me to find my way into a Bible study of a person who did read the Word and who did understand the Word. And I began to grow. And it wasn't because I knew what to do. It was because even in the place of where it sounded like I was speaking doubt, God, I know you said that, but I don't know that it's true. I know that's in your Word, but I don't know that it's true. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see, God. That sounds like doubt. God said, that sounds like a door opening to me. And so it was this little bitty crack, but he put me in a place, and I kept going regardless of not wanting to.
So it was a choice.
But I didn't really know that I was making a choice. And the thing of it is that is one of the things that I have come to find out in my walk with the Lord, regardless of the fact that it wasn't what I wanted to find out. I wanted God. I'm like, God, why can't you just do me like you did Paul? You know, caused me to go blind for 3 days, and the next thing you know, I'm writing books, and I'm doing all kinds. Why can't it be like that for me?
You know, I'm so excited about this because I wanted to talk today about sanctification, and everybody, nobody likes that word. But the Lord's been dealing with me, and I, you can't see it, but the Lord just gave me a study on it, and it's not anything profound, but it was for me of understanding. You know, we get saved, like you're saying, these people, whoever, whoever, Karen, the people that Jeannie knows, or the question that came from whoever, you know, we get saved, and it is a process that never ends.
Right.
We never arrive. And so sanctification, when you break down that word, is a separation.
Right.
And if we don't separate ourselves from the world, Hannah just read 1 John. The scripture right after what she read said, "If you know, we need to hate the world. We don't need anything with it, you know." And so I'll just read a few things that, you know, we have to change. There has to be a break. It has to separate. That's what sanctification is. And it's a lifetime to complete. I say it all the time. I'm mature in the Lord. I'm seasoned.
Right.
And I have been in the Lord a while, and still the Lord has brought me back to sanctification to remove more things out of my life, to cause me to separate even more. Can we read Romans? I'm going to start at the end of 5, but I really just want to read it. It's a little bit, but let me just read it, and it kind of goes along with what we're talking about. I'm going to start in chapter 5 and verse 20. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more.
That's right.
So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not, is what my translation says. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And see, that's the key. Salvation is the way to heaven. It is. But if we want to live on this life and to be ambassadors of Christ, to be to help others to reconcile to God, then we have to apply this to our life where we say, I'm dead to sin. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean it happens overnight, like Jeannie said, or like Karen said. It's a process of sanctification and holiness. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
And you know, one of the things my translation says, that word were can also be are.
Are, that's
present,
right.
Present.
Every day. Every day. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. And see, that's what we have to comprehend when we get saved. And even like today, I need to walk in a new way of life. I don't need to walk in the way that I walked in yesterday or a month ago. I need to walk in a new way of life every day. His mercies are new every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new every morning. Where am I at? Verse 5. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, crucifying ourselves, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. His, remember we talked about first person, third person, his resurrection, that our old self was crucified with him. And if we don't walk in this sanctification, in this process every day of renewing our mind with the word, in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free from sin's claims. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a key. Do we want to live with him, or do we want to hold on to just a little bit of the world and try,
whole
you know,
lot of the
yeah,
world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For in light of the fact that he died to sin once and for all. But in light of the fact that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's all about him.
That's
going back
right.
to that. Dead to what I want to do. Dead to my desires. Dead to all of that to say, God, what do you want me to do? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God. Excuse me, and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so in this process, let me just read a few more scriptures and then we could talk. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. There's the process. From glory to glory is what a lot of translations say. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We do this process. We walk in this process by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what transforms us. When we read, you know, it's active and sharper than a two-edged sword because the Spirit of God makes it come alive to us. It's all about him. Colossians 3, verses 9. Let me get to it. Let's turn to Colossians real quick, and then I'll let y'all have and say what you want to say. I'm just kind of trying to get a
base
on the sanctification, walking in that, in holiness, a separation. Chapter 1 of Colossians 3. So if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. See, whoever this person might be that Jeannie's talking about, they get saved and 3 months down the road, they're still dealing with the same issues, still coming to the altar, still saying, I can't. It's because you have to seek things above and walk in sanctification, walk in holiness, separating from everything that God is telling you to. Verse 2, set your minds on what is above and not what is on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature. And even tells us parts of it. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient, and you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. See, God's trying to tell us, watch what you're doing. Separate from these things, and you'll walk in my fullness. Keep your eyes on me. But it's all, like Karen said, it was a choice. She may not have felt it at first. She may not even walked in it fully at first. But it was a choice to say every day, as best as I can, in by the Spirit today, God, I'm going to separate from gossip. I'm going to separate mm-hmm. from anger. Let's see, where was I at? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices. And see, that's the key, the holiness of God. And also, you know, it talks about us being ambassadors of Christ. I'm going to shut up in just a minute. I'm going to let y'all talk. But teaching our young how to walk in this. Teaching our children and telling our children's children of separating from these things. Because they're going to walk in them at some point in their life. And have put on the new self. You are being renewed in all knowledge according to the image of your Creator. Being renewed. It's our mm-hmm. goal. It's our role is to walk in sanctification. God, it's his will for us to. First Thessalonians, we'll read that in a minute, but y'all want to interject here and then I'll go on to First Thessalonians.
No, go ahead and go.
Karen, got anything? I just, you know.
No, you go ahead and go and we will. We'll pick it up in full.
There's just so much to it. It's just, here it says that it is God's will that we walk in sanctification. So you're like, Lord, what is your will for me? He tells us. It's not what we want to hear. We want to hear, I'm going on the mission field, and I'm going to be this wonderful person. I'm going to be on stage singing, and I'm going to be preaching the gospel and all that. And you may, and prayerfully you will, if that's what God has for you. But your greatest thing that we should be walking in, the principal thing, the first thing is to get God's will on it. And so for 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. Finally then, brothers, We ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us how you must walk and please God, see here it is, as you are doing, do so even more. There's that process every day. Just when you think you've arrived, nope, do some more. Keep pressing in. Keep moving. For you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is God's will. Here it is, verse 3. This is what my translation says. This is God's will, your sanctification, your separation, your holiness, that you abstain from sexual immorality so that each of you knows how to control his own body in sanctification and honor, not with lustful desires like the Gentiles who don't know God. This means one must not transgress against and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses. And we also previously told and warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but to sanctification. Therefore, the person who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also gives you his Holy Spirit. So if you're not willing to walk in holiness and separation from the world and the things, you can't have one foot in and one foot out. I've tried it. It don't work. You wind up in a mess. And you also separate from God. And it takes a process of drawing back near to him. He's always there, and he'll always receive you right back. But it also causes a distance and a separation between you and God when you decide, I'm going to walk over here for a little while. Then you go through this process of sanctification all over again of separation. Anybody want to say anything?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
It definitely answered my thoughts this morning as I was grieved over seeing so many unchanged lives. And I was thinking back to my own life, and, everybody's journey is so different. But if you come out of, say, a bar life, or you come out of a drug scene type thing, there's a lot of people involved.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people involved. And they're actually, they talk about gang members and things, how they do truly become family.
That's right.
Because that's all they know. Mm-hmm. So when one of those gets saved, and you come out of it, and I'll say it out of my own personal life, as mm-hmm. I came out of bar life, as I was truly changed, mm-hmm. truly born again, my heart was different. I continued to go back to those places. Mm-hmm. With those people, because I wanted them to have what
right,
I had.
Right.
Okay. But I remember the day
mm-hmm.
that the Lord spoke to me and said, separate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I'm rejecting them and accepting you, but I heard it deep down, and I knew what he was saying was true.
Right.
I knew what he was saying had to happen. And it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to walk away from the people I had known and loved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say this. Because I felt as though I was rejecting them.
Yeah.
That my separation from them was rejecting them. And I, the love of God. You're new. You don't know. But when the Lord said, separate, you have to separate.
Mm-hmm.
And I came away from them. Then what was driving their lives began to attack me.
Yeah. Right.
Because, and then, of course, I'll just go ahead and say, I've seen many come up out of that.
Amen.
And be born again. But in the initial beginning, they treat you as though you are rejecting
right.
them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you're better than they are.
Oh, yeah.
And all of those things. And I think it's really hard for people to get over this hump I'm talking about right here. Because a lot of these people are even right there in your family.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And so to try to walk that out, how desperate we need
mm-hmm.
the growth and the help of the church in this moment
mm-hmm.
to know how to walk this out.
That's right.
And, I think that's such an important thing to do. It's like I said, I knew stuff about God. I had been raised in it and everything, but I still didn't understand. I really didn't understand that there was a personal relationship.
Yeah.
I didn't get that,
I didn't either.
And the thing was is that, when I started going to a class, and that was a miracle that I went. And the third miracle was that I kept going. But the thing of it is that When I began to hear the Word of God and the explanation, the understanding of it, mm-hmm. it wasn't, it was profound to me.
Right.
That these things that we've read here this morning and the understanding that was given to someone by the Holy Spirit of understanding it and relaying it, it was the most profound thing I'd ever heard in
yes.
my life.
Yeah.
And I would leave that Bible study and I would go home and I would have to look it up so I could see it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. And the thing of it is that was the beginning of my personal relationship with the Lord, but it didn't come because I went all in. It came because, I didn't know. I mean, I thought I was doing maybe I said something to God. I don't know, God. I can't read your word. I can't do it. I don't understand it. And he made a way.
That's right.
And the thing of it is even in the making of the way, I still doubted. I don't know that that's true,
mm-hmm.
but it was the Word, and it was the understanding that came out of the mouth of the one who understood the Word that caused me to become, well, is that in there? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I want to speak, I know that this Word has been a revelation for me this morning. It's not that I didn't know this Word. I've been in it. But I've been wrestling with some things, and I know this Word actually what came up yesterday, sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, sanctification and holiness in our generation seems to be words that people don't want to hear.
Yeah, it's wrong
but
words.
But they're Bible words, people.
Yes, they
they're
are.
Bible
they
words.
Are.
And we have got to get back to this place of sanctification,
mm-hmm.
that we do walking in holiness. It's not an option. It's not something we can take or leave. It's what God requires.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And, I was thinking about when I shared that about what separate and that and how much people
mm-hmm.
struggle with that separation. Mm-hmm. But if you all these years later, fast forward, as I separated myself from that life and from those people that enjoyed and stayed in that life, God many times has sent me back in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not a rejection. It's a preparation.
Right. And it's also a securing of you. I mean, he's brought you to a place of security in him that you can, and that can't touch you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Do you need to do something here?
Well, I was going to be quiet today, but I didn't want to
we knew it was coming.
I do want to say one thing because I was just enjoying. I'm still enjoying. I'm going to go back to being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of this talk of the absence of sanctification, holiness, is a misinterpretation of what grace is.
Mm-hmm.
Because grace was never the empowerment to sin. Grace was the empowerment to overcome sin. The grace
yes.
of God does not excuse us to continue to walk in sin. Miss Crystal read it herself a minute ago in Romans. Should
right.
we continue in sin that grace may abound? You go to Peter, you go to Romans 2, that they're presuming on the riches and the kindness of his grace, and they're in essence storing up wrath for themselves. That's Romans chapter 2. And so you look at this grace, the grace that Jesus displayed on the cross, bought us, reconciled us, redeemed us back to the Father so that we're even worthy of now to go into his presence, to walk in his ways, to get into his words. It's a blessing to walk in the presence of the Lord and to walk in the glory of God. It's something we were incapable of doing,
right.
left to our own sin.
That's right.
And we were undeserving. We don't deserve to be born again. We don't deserve to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't deserve to be kings and priests. We deserve none of this, but the grace of God positioned us so that we may walk in the fullness of all that Christ has for us. Grace is never the license to sin, but so many people teach that today because there's a misunderstanding of the gospel and a misapplication of the gospel, that the gospel is not the entitlement to sin and be forgiven. The gospel is the equipment and the empowerment in me to become a new creature.
Amen.
That I may not want to
preach
sin no
that.
More.
Mm-hmm.
And that I may walk in the fullness that all God has. Because as Miss Crystal was reading Romans 6, you go all the way to 6:14,
mm-hmm.
grace is there so that I overcome and defeat and no longer am bound to sin, but I am a free man.
Mm-hmm.
I am a grace sets us free. And if the grace that we preach that we do in the church today is true, then it's a bondage. Because now we're just going from a sinner that's on their way to hell to a sinner on the way to heaven, and that's never the gospel. Mm-hmm. Sin no. shall not enter to heaven. So sin has to be defeated in our life.
Yes.
And I want us to like understand, and I'm going to shut up again because I don't want to hold it up, but grace did not excuse sin. Grace destroyed sin. Mm-hmm. And so when you are born again, Hebrews 6 talks about a people that's tasted, shared, partook. I'm not done any, you know what? Those are things I've done, but I am one who's been bought. I am fully his. As a born again believer, we're not seeking his hand. And so often we're like, Lord, touch me, touch me. I'm really not interested in the Lord touching me. I'm interested in the Lord possessing me.
That's right.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ. I don't want to just touch. Mm-hmm. I want all of him. Right. I want every bit of it. And grace positions me to receive all things pertaining to godliness in life and life more abundantly. Sorry, I'll shut up now.
No, but you don't have to shut up.
No, you don't. But one of the definitions of grace in the Strong Concordance is that it is a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Grace is not just a dormant thing. It's not just something. Everything God does and gives has a result. It's not just something that you have in it. It just
it
does something to you to set and to realize that out of grace, you know, if it weren't for grace, there I go. Mm-hmm. It has an effect on my life. It's not just a word that was planted in the middle of the Bible that God said that sounded good. It has an effect mm-hmm. on my life. It changes my heart. Mm-hmm. And that change is reflected in my life. And I think that grace is something that people just think, well, I'm under grace. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. Well, what's grace doing for you? Because it has a result.
That's right.
Amen.
Can we read some more?
Yeah.
I
love the word.
Yeah. Let's go to Romans 8, and everybody loves Romans 8. And I'm just going to read just a certain section of it. One, therefore, because it's exactly what we're talking about, how we need to teach people, how we need to apply it to our lives. And this goes so well in this process of sanctification that we will walk in every day until the day we die. We will just walk in sanctification, continuing to separate. It may be a different area, but you're going to continue to walk in. Mm-hmm. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his only Son in the flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's part of the sanctification, learning to walk in the Spirit and not continue walking in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Y'all can jump in anytime you want. For those who live according to the flesh, think about the things of the flesh. What do you let your mind dwell on? Do you let your mind dwell on gossip and drama and worry and fear and drinking and addictions? Does your mind dwell on that all the time? But those who live according to the Spirit, I'm just going to say it, think about the things of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For the mindset of the flesh is death. It's going to eventually destroy you. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God because it does not submit, and there's a key word, submitting mm-hmm. everything to God.
It's all them ugly words.
It's all them, yeah. And we don't like these words. But to overcome, when we get born again, when we begin the changing process, the sanctification, to walk in holiness, we have to submit and trust that God will sanctify us. It's He's the one that's going to do it. I had a scripture for that. Go ahead, Jeannie.
I want to go back to verse 5.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 5 just lit up off of me here. And it says, for they that are after the flesh, King James, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, mind the things. It didn't say mind, but that's what it means.
Yeah.
Mind the things of the Spirit. And, you know, it goes back to Hannah this morning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I've used that example mm-hmm. myself many times of someone rowing upstream.
Yes.
Very possible.
Right.
Very doable, but don't stop rowing.
That's right.
If you mind the things of the flesh, you stopped rowing.
Yeah. And you go backwards.
And you end up, the current will take you back.
That's right.
To that place of the world.
Right.
It will.
But
if you continue, your mind is after the things of the Spirit. Get after Him. Get
right.
after what He, like you said, which one was it? I can't remember the scripture now. But anyway, you're mindful of the things of the Spirit. You're yielding. What do I need to do here?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. This is gossip. Mm-hmm. I need to back up away from this. I know I do. Just back on out. Excuse yourself.
Yeah.
Leave.
Just walk
right.
away.
Like, because I'm minding the things of the Spirit right
That's right.
here. And you will keep yourself rowing toward the Lord, toward
right.
the change
exactly.
life, toward the sanctification mm-hmm. and the holiness.
Separation.
Yeah, and
That's
all
right.
of these things will automatically come from you because of where you're heading.
That's right.
Not because you was able to
it's
do
the goal.
It. Because you can't
yeah.
do anything
no,
except
not.
By the Spirit of God.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good,
the scripture
good.
I was going to just interject real quick. You don't have to go there. Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And I'm only reading that to say that we trust that God is going to do the work. It's because of Christ that we are righteous. And that's how we walk out this sanctification. Let's finish this up. Verse 7. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, mm-hmm. but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you.
Yeah.
But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies
mm-hmm.
to life through His Spirit who lives in you. You can overcome
Absolutely.
If you allow the Lord to do the work.
And mm-hmm. this is the life that's
right.
in Him. This is the mm-hmm. life He intended for you to,
that's
to
right.
live.
That's right.
But there, again, there are requirements
exactly.
to this.
But the Spirit, I love this. As mm-hmm. the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken, make alive your mortal body.
Bodies.
Look, the mortal body's not
yeah.
going to heaven. So
no.
we're not talking about
that's
heaven right.
right
here.
That's right.
We're talking about right now.
That's right.
Right
that's
now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. I love it. Don't you love that? About? I mean, he's talking about right now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your life
right.
right now.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow.
Look, we done went upstream and came back down again.
We're still paddling upstream, Hannah.
We're
like
talking
it.
About sanctification and holiness.
Yeah.
Hannah's come
Amen.
Joined us back. She goes and teaches a Bible class at Bethel. I mean, well, Bethel.
Well,
BCA is what I was trying to
we
say.
We are there.
Well, I know. That's why I tried to correct it. BCA. And she comes back over here and she's joining us again. So we're just trying to catch her up a little bit. We're talking about sanctification, which is separation
yeah.
and holiness. We've read Romans 6. If anybody else has just joined us, we've read 1 Thessalonians 4. All these are awesome. Colossians 3 and 9. Just renewing and sanctifying. And it's a process until we die. And I just, this one which is kind of totally out. But what we're trying to say is this is going to be until the end. And nothing unclean can go into heaven. And Revelations 21:27 says, but nothing unclean will ever enter heaven,
mm-hmm.
nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We must be made perfect at that point.
Right.
Now, we won't be perfect here, but we are moving toward the process of becoming perfect as we move toward heaven.
Yeah, that's hope.
And
yeah.
in that moment,
Amen.
When it does not yet appear what we shall be.
Yeah, that's
right.
what I'm
yeah.
thinking.
But in that moment, that's the person that's still after Him.
That's right. Even
that,
in that point.
So that's the person that had been from glory to glory changing.
That's right. mm-hmm.
And so He is able. That day will be a complete takeover from the
that's
inside
right.
out.
That's
amen.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
your body and everything. Yeah. I mean, the glorified body and everything.
But verse 9 of Romans 8 there says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell that's in right. you. Mm-hmm. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a big deal right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, most people believe, yeah, do we have his Spirit when we walk forward and say, I want to be saved mm-hmm. and get baptized? Is this the Spirit that we're talking about in that moment? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about receiving the baptizing of the Spirit mm-hmm. also? What are we talking about?
Right.
That's a question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, Pastor.
That's too much.
Is it too much?
No, I'm just, I'd have to study.
Say it again.
Okay, see, it says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You're not his.
Yeah. Well, all right, so I would say this, that I would differentiate that from a lot of Pentecostals that we don't get the Holy Ghost to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I think the moment we're born again and regenerated, Holy Ghost comes and lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we see in more of an Acts 2 or an external or a secondary feeling is an empowerment. It's an endowment with power. But I believe Holy Ghost comes and lives in me that at the initial stage of regeneration, born again, right
so
there.
So I agree with you. But do you think it's equally important that we teach for that empowerment?
I think it's important that we teach that every single day of our life because,
yes.
as Paul said, not be drunk in excess of wine, but be filled. And that's a continuous participle of saying continually, every day. I mean, I walk into the grocery store and say, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Right.
I go to the gym and say, fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I go to order a fast food restaurant. Please fill me with your Spirit.
Protection.
Right. Yeah. I think we should always be praying for God to fill us with the Spirit.
I agree.
And I think it's through the Spirit that we can walk in sanctification. Mm-hmm. You have to have the Spirit of God to help you walk, to separate, walk away. You know, you have to. The Word tells us. It's the Word and the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you, and you study the Word to know who God is. And it just gave us scriptures in, was it Thessalonians that had, don't do this, don't do that?
Mm-hmm.
It tells you how to walk in sanctification. Separate yourself from sexual immorality, from greed and anger and wrath. Don't walk in these areas. And we feel it. You know, we get angry and we're like, and then, you know, several times, I think it was last week or week before, I had to just say, wait, this, you know, I'm doing a study on sanctification. I can't walk in this. I have to separate myself. Oh, it was this past week. It was a situation, kind of got in a little uncomfortable situation. It wasn't with Todd, believe it or not. It wasn't with Todd. I always give you Todd stories. This was not a Todd story. Just something was uncomfortable between me and another person. Just silly stuff. And I was like, well, I'm just not going to speak. I'm just not going to say nothing. You know, that's not God. Even though I might have been felt justified because of it, it's still, and it went into the next day. And I'm just not going to say nothing. Well, sanctification started stirring up in my mind of like, you cannot walk in anger and wrath and malice and all these things. And so went to the person and we're fine. And we healed and we talked and we're good because I can't have that in my life. It will separate me from God. And I don't want anything separating me from God. And that's what sanctification is. We separate from the world so that we can draw closer to God and we get rid of anything that would be in the way of God and I's relationship.
Right.
You know?
So if the Spirit of God is there at the birth, mm-hmm. born again, mm-hmm. and which I do 100% believe that, then there's a understanding that we're relying on the work of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
now
yes.
on the inside.
Yes. And the Word.
Yes. We're relying on Him to do His job.
Yes.
To do what the Jesus said He
yes.
was going to do.
Right.
Right. Lead us and guide us into
mm-hmm.
all truth.
Right.
And so we're not of the flesh or we're not in the flesh, but so we just, it's just a matter of turning our
mm-hmm.
ourselves toward the work of the Spirit.
Right.
And so like He said, I wake up almost every morning and this is what I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. You know, because I don't know what the day holds.
Right.
But I am totally counting on the Spirit of God to lead me through this day. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I always say, Lord, you fill me with your Spirit today, because you know, of all people, you know how much I'm going to need it later.
That's right.
And I think
I should have prayed that morning.
I think both of you are 100% right. Like, there is no opposite. Like, I can't stand when people say, well, I'm a word person. Well, I'm a Spirit person. You can't be either.
Uh-uh.
Like, they are the same. Like,
that's right.
Because the Holy Spirit's there to bring the Word. And Miss Crystal, you're so correct on this. Like, we need the Holy Spirit to renew, to revive, to revelate to us the Word of God, but we need the Word of God because we're sanctified by the Word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's John 17, 1 Peter 4, 5, and John 15:3. All of them talk about sanctification. Can I read one verse?
Sure.
I was
supposed
to be quiet, but it's really
we
hard.
We were ready for you.
It's really hard.
Especially this
day. Open the floodgates.
Yeah, it's really hard when y'all start getting this fun stuff. Psalm 119, 105. That is a very familiar scripture to us. It's incredibly familiar. Everybody can quote it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. Mm-hmm. But if you could read Psalm 119, the whole thing, with the Strong's, and realize the difference between statutes and commandments, which, again, commandments are mitzvah. You can go into the word, which is damar or immar. You can go into other, there's different Hebrew words for all this. It's not just the same. Like, he's trying to reveal this to us. But in 105, he says, thy Torah is the word interprets there, the word. And Torah, we call it the first five books because it's called the Pentateuch. But the Torah is the revelation of God into the earth, mm-hmm. trying to tell us how to live, to how to act. So mm-hmm. the Torah, it's a lamp into my path, which is, that lamp's a Hebrew word that means uh-huh. a smaller light, right. because it lights me. But then there's a bigger light called Orah. And Orah is that light unto my path, because we can't, the word or the Torah doesn't just illuminate everything around us. It illuminates personally and mm-hmm. here, but then it gives me the path.
Uh-huh.
It gives
Come
me the
on.
Path. Uh-huh. So if I need a path to sanctification, I need the Torah.
Yes.
I need the,
yes.
and it's not just, I'm not eating shrimp or I can only read the first five books of the Bible. The Torah was the revelation of God into the earth for his people to live holy. That's
right.
what it was.
That's right.
And when we live holy, then it produces a light that shines out of us called the Orah.
Amen.
That brings revelation to the path for other peoples to come.
To be reconciled
so lamp,
to God.
The lamp yes, is yes, for yes. me, but the light that's produced out of the word that's manifesting a revelatory in my life is a light to the path.
Right.
And I'm actually to be like shining it. As an aura I in like the it. Earth for people to come to the path.
That's right.
And that's what sanctification does.
Amen.
Sorry, I'm just...
No, it's good.
Well, Proverbs, so good. I live what you say. I just can't say what you say.
Send that to her. Isn't it that thing
Clip
you had up on church that
Clip
day?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so good.
Well, Proverbs says to get wisdom... Proverbs 4 and verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 5. I got glasses on, I still can't see. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom, and whatever else you get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about the word, we have to, that creates and processes sanctification through us. It teaches us. It moves in us. Like I said, it makes us the person that God wants us to be. He is conforming us into his image through the word of God, through the Spirit of God, through all of it. And the last scripture I have, I got to read this one, Philippians 3:21. I'm going to start in verse 18 for context. For I've often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also all eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself.
Everything
is subjected to him. And that's how we walk in sanctification. That's how we walk in holiness, is through everything we've said, from the lazy river, going up river, going and running after it, to ambassadors and reconciling people to God. How do we do that? We get sanctified, and we separate ourselves, and we separate from sexual impurity and anger and wrath, and then get into the Word. Let it transform our lives, and then we will have a reformation.
Yeah. I love what he brought up, because you cannot separate the Word and the Spirit.
That's right.
And
yeah.
I love that he brought that up, because I did for years.
Yeah.
For years, I was a Word person.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And without the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, then you'll have no wisdom.
That's right.
You'll have no wisdom. But 1 Corinthians 2 is one I always go to. But it says, we speak not in the words of man's wisdom, but what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them.
That's right.
He cannot know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. We can't know what God meant when he wrote this word unless the Spirit of God reveals it.
Amen.
You can't get it any other way. That's why it doesn't matter if how many degrees you had or if you just started and you can't read. It don't matter. What matters is
the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. Yeah,
so you get to God's word and trust the Spirit of God to reveal it. Amen.
That's good. That's a good word.
That's good. We can't. It's either way. If we try to have the Spirit without the Word, then we're in trouble,
exactly.
too.
Yeah. Oh, we've seen that trouble.
We probably see that trouble a lot more, honestly. Yeah. That one, like, is very evident, like, out in your face. Ooh, off the cliff.
When I was praying over this for Tuesday morning, because, like I said, it's been for me first, and it always is as teachers in here, y'all know, it's usually the words to you first. But Hannah said something last week, and I can't even remember. I wish I could remember what she was talking about. She was talking about the young people. And for me, our generation knew somewhat about morals and about sanctification. Even you don't do certain things. But the generation now, the world is so mixed with the church that this needs to be taught to our young people about holiness and sanctification and separating anything that separates from you, God. And I'm not saying this church don't or that church don't or this one does. I'm saying as the body of Christ, as the seasoned, teach the younger. And the Bible tells us, you young women, teach your young ladies. I was thinking that the other day. I was listening to some of our students that are in relationships, and I was watching the girls of how they talk to their boyfriends. And it was just like, and I told one of them, you were just mean. No, I'm not. I mean, she had no idea. And it was pretty much like, get over here and come where I told you to. That was the kind of conversation it was. It wasn't exact, but anyway. And I was like, okay. And he just went over and did it. And I was like, oh, well. And so I said, you know, that's not how you talk to somebody, you know. And this person was clueless. I mean, it was like, what? I didn't even say anything. So I'm talking, now these are kids. Yeah. I get that, but they need to be taught now. They are old enough to know you respect people. If you're going to be in a relationship, you have to learn. So this started me once I was studying. I was like, you know, so many of our young people, we don't even teach etiquette anymore. I know BCA is doing that now. Some of our older ladies are taking the young girls and teaching them just how to sew a button on, they're going to start teaching them some cooking lessons. And some of the young men are taking some of the men and showed them how to change a tire and how to change oil. You know, without so many fathers in the home or whatever, some of this is missing or it's just not taught anymore. Take it to Walmart. They'll do it, you know. To charge an arm and a leg, but they'll do it, you know.
But, you know, I think what you're talking about is elementary.
Mm-hmm. For us.
But no, it's the elementary part of the process.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the foundation. Mm-hmm. And I think that these things have to be understood. And again, I'm not criticizing anything. I don't remember hearing the word sanctification when I was a kid.
Me either.
No.
I don't remember any discussion about that. I would have not known what it meant, but that's an elementary thing in the life of a Christian.
Right.
And I don't mean elementary
small. What you're saying. Yes.
It's a foundation. You have to learn your ABCs before you can learn to
write.
Right. Fundamental.
It's fundamental. And those are the things that have to be taught that have not been taught in order for anything to, it's part of the understanding of that which is to come.
It's and how you overcome.
Yeah, you have to have that in order to grow.
Mm-hmm. Can I read one more scripture for you?
Absolutely.
It goes along with what you're teaching, Miss Crystal. If you can't tell, I'm really loving Psalm 119 lately.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a huge verse. It's a huge chapter,
yes.
It's so good. Verse 9, I'm going to read from the ESV on this one. How can a young man keep his way pure?
Mm.
And I love what it says here. By guarding it according to your word.
Mm. Mm.
The word becomes a guard.
That's
and
right.
He said, with my whole heart I seek you.
I love it.
Let me not wander from your commandments or mitzvahs. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
If you want to walk in the fullness of sanctification, store up the word of God in your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Seek him with your whole heart. Guard everything, which is a very much a New Testament principle, because Paul said not one thought is getting past the obedience to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thought. Every thought's going to come subject to the obedience of Christ. And the only way they can have, only way those thoughts that can submit to the obedience of Christ is to know the word of Christ, and the Holy Spirit will bring those back to remembrance as we had it in our heart.
That's right.
So
good.
I just
so
wanted
good.
To read that last
Amen.
One.
No, that's good. Word.
That's a good one.
Good word.
It's been a good word all morning.
Yes, Amen.
Amen.
All
the beginning
wrapping
to the
around,
end.
Yeah. Intertwining, connecting.
It always
flowing.
Does.
Sounds like the Holy Spirit, don't it?
And it seems like there is even things that were spoke today that kind of started weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like it just
it's
keeps
a continual
building.
Continual process,
and
yeah.
Weaving together.
And that's
together.
The way the word should be in us.
That's
that
right.
Everything connects with something else,
that's
and
right.
it's a process. And you know, like I said, maybe you messed up today. Well, you know, you pick yourself up and you separate again and you move forward and you say, Holy Spirit, help me. And the more you get in the Word and pray in the Spirit and let the combination of all that together sanctify you and separate you from the world, you'll see a life of freedom, as Pastor Aaron talks about. It's freedom. You'll be a free mm-hmm. person, that the addictions don't hold you back. It's because you keep running back to it, like Eugenie and Hannah were talking about with the water. You're going upstream. The minute you lift that paddle up or you lift whatever up, you're going backwards. Yeah. And you have to just keep steady, keep steady. And it never ends. So don't say, oh, well, I've done it for 3 years. We've done it in this room for many, many years, and we will always continue. Everyone will continue to walk in sanctification and holiness, because it's the only way we will be complete in him on that day.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
It's a good word.
It
it's good. It answered the question for sure.
Amen.
And, you know, and I think it's a word that's full of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is.
It's full of hope. It's full of guidance. It's full of, you know, the attraction again of the love of God
That's right. mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to make me walk out of here different today.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think, you know, you was talking about someone going, you know, to heaven and those things that they were doing. They're not going there. And you know, into his presence. I'm going to remove the word heaven. Even into his mm-hmm. presence. Mm-hmm. If you found yourself in a life full of hatred and envy and jealousy and mm-hmm. gossip and sin of any kind,
that's right,
that you know is against him, that's not going there
mm-hmm. right.
into his presence.
That's
so
right.
while you're here, something has to give, something mm-hmm. has to happen,
mm-hmm.
and he has made available grace. He has made available his Spirit and his
that's
word
right.
that will literally walk you
mm-hmm.
free from anything that mm-hmm. would hold you back from him.
That's right.
Mm.
And he's very present.
And this is kind of off a little bit, but it just came up in my spirit. I'm going to say it. Y'all not going to like it. I don't like it. But even in areas of taking care of our bodies, going into his presence, as far as eating habits, as far as things, not that food will keep you from his presence, but overeating and feeling sleepy and not being able to stay awake and doing those things, sometimes God will correct you in that. The Lord's done that with me before, as far as sanctification. It was like, if you're not taking care of your body, it's real hard to do some of the things I need you to do. So be careful. God's going to sanctify you in every area. Don't be afraid of that. He ain't going to make you leave your pizza. He's not saying that. But watching things. He just cut me off because I talked about food.
Don't mess with the pizza.
He's living that.
Lord, we thank you for sanctification, and
All
we
right.
bless you today.
We'll be
God.
Back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. Love you guys.
Love you.